Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary of my life. At the moment, it's a sort of ad hoc, occasional entry diary, and I don't mean it to be like that. Only Julia and I have been incredibly busy, and mornings have been sort of, well, busy, I guess, is the only word I can think at this present moment, and so the recordings have not been as regular as you know. At the least, I guess, it's every other day, but sometimes it's every third day, and I don't mean it to be quite so lax, he says, glancing at an Oxford English Dictionary, which I just pulled out from my pile of books to look up a word that I'd been on my mind after reading a bit of R.F. Delderfield this morning. It's 6:30 on the 4th of March. March! We're in March. Time is marching on. 2026. Yesterday we were at the land, working away, doing a lot of clearance work. Julia's been planting. We've got onions down, a lovely row of onions, which is looking good, which... the land is an amazing place that we have. It keeps giving little surprises. For I was clearing some bush brambles and things, and stumbled across, buried beneath it, something like an 8-foot length of plastic mesh, I suppose you would call it. And as it happened, we had some chicken wire, which we were protecting the onions, which were in the ground, from the pheasants. I think it's the pheasants that are attacking it. And it wasn't quite long enough to do the whole length. And I said to Julia, look, I found this. It was caked in mud, so we cleaned it up and then positioned it. Julia positioned it in the rest of the row of the onions. And so we now have the onions caged and protected from birds and, you know, larger mammals, let's say, than field mice. Anyway, having gone back, Julia says, yes, I think that is doing the job. It is protecting them. So very pleased about that. It's amazing what we do find or have found on the land since we've had the place that has been left there by the previous owner. So that's really good. What else has been going on? As I say, doing a lot of clearance of the brambles at the moment, trying to catch up, really, with the period of time where we've had all this rain, and clearing some of these brambles, because in this massive bramble patch that we have is where we think we want the larger polytunnel. It's going to take a bit of time to clear it and then get rid of all the roots and everything else, and then build the polytunnel. But we hope that we can get that done over this month or so, because we're going to need that for things like early salads and tomatoes and various, you know, some basil and all the things that you might use the polytunnel for. We could put it in other places, but that's more exposed to wind, and this is a good position, albeit of course it's where brambles have grown, which I suppose is why the brambles are there, because it's a good position for the sun, for the early morning sun, for the latter sun. And everything's boggy at the moment, but I suspect that it will be relatively dry, but it will have some moisture in the ground, which I think is probably a good mix. But because of the rain that we've had in the last month or two, everything is saturated, and so we've just got to wait now, really, for all of that to clear and drain away. Well, we've had a couple of nice days, and so it's slowly draining, but everything is, as I say, is just saturated to the point of madness. But it's not quite a quagmire. Yes, the surface is a little bit, if you keep walking on the same old area, which of course we do to an extent because we have a hub on land where we have our workshop and we have our growing patch and we have our small potting polytunnel. And so we inevitably are walking between that. But we have some slabs down now to, like stepping stones, I suppose, to avoid trying to walk too much on the mud. Although down by the gate, where the land is on a hill, not a steep hill, but it's there is an incline, and of course all the water is filtering down the inclines, and the gate is on on that incline, and so down by the gate where we continually walk or bring our wheelbarrow in. Yes, it is. It is a bit tricky there, especially when you've filled the wheelbarrow with either rubble or heavy paving slabs or bits and bobs. A viewer to the channel who's been watching for a long time, lovely bloke called Neil, popped round the day before yesterday, Monday, that's right, and he's been collecting or has had in his possession numerous hand tools, and he'd heard that we would, you know, really appreciate them. So he brought them round along with a strong box. This is a metal box which often sits in a van or is bolted to the floor. It's about 3 foot by 4 foot, I think. And it's like a chest, you know. It is like an old sea chest, I suppose. But it's flat, you know, it's box shape rather than having a domed lid like you would imagine the old sea chests would, and made of mahogany or whatever they're made of, oak. And so he said, look, you know, these old hand tools, it wouldn't really matter if they get nicked, but you could leave them on the land inside this strong box with a key, and the idea is you bolt it to the floor. But I'm not sure that I shall bolt it to the floor of the workshop, but I could do, depending on when we finally at the moment the workshop is more of a storeroom, but it will turn into, we've cleared out bits of it to try and make it more of a workshop or more of a room that you can get into, and so that was very generous of him. So we carried that up there yesterday. That was a bit of a task using the wheelbarrow, but we got it up there and we got all the hand tools and various things. And these are a whole variety of lovely tools, from things like secateurs to screwdrivers to socket sets to even some drills, electric portable drills, which would be handy. Now I have a couple of these. Oh, I think there's a circular saw, battery powered circular saw, for small jobs. So actually they're in the van. I want to just get them plugged in and powered up, because they'll be very, very useful. So that was really, really generous, and so we're so grateful. We're so grateful for people who've come forward. Sometimes people have come forward with what seems to be junk, like an old window and chicken wire and bits and pieces like that, some slates, or they're not real proper slate, they're sort of imitation slate, but not plastic, but real stone, for a roof. Well, all of these things, they may on their own be a bit abstract, but we're using them. We're using them for all sorts of different uses and purposes, which is pretty good. Well, very good. So we're just so pleased and grateful that people have been sending in or handing over or offering us these things. Now, of course, what we don't want to do is just accept everything that's been, that, you know, rubbish, because it would be very easy to fill up the land with stuff that you're never going to use. We've been given, and we are going to use it, a little one of these garden swings, where not children's swing, but a swing where you can sit in the sunshine with a cup of coffee, if you know what I mean, a little metal thing. And I think that would be lovely for, we've also, you may or may not know, been offered a caravan. And that's coming, I think, at the end of this month. Of course, it needs to be nice and dry, and I think by then it'll be pretty firm. So we've allocated a spot where that's going, and the little swing will be sort of adjacent to that, so that in the mornings we can have an early morning coffee and watch the sunrise, which would be fantastic. We have a bench, which we were given, which is down by, on the opposite side of the land, where we can watch the sunset if we wish, or just have a cup of tea throughout the day, you know. So it's all coming together. It's all very, very lovely. But it's extremely hard work, as you can imagine, sorting all this stuff out and getting up there. The biggest problem we have is the distance, really. I think that's the biggest headache, is the distance of... It may only be an hour or just over an hour, but you've got to load up the van. You've got to get yourself ready and organised, load up with the things that you need, and drive there, and then unload, bring everything, whatever you need, up with the wheelbarrow, and all that. You know, that's kind of, by the time you've got yourself up there, got there, and then had a cup of tea, that's 2 hours of the day's gone. You've got another hour of driving home, and you've probably got half an hour of depacking, or, you know, and bringing stuff home. So the more we can leave there, obviously, the better. But we don't want to leave too much there, if anything of any great value, because, well, you just don't know who's going to break in. As activity starts to happen and people start to become aware that, not nice people, I mean, you know, thieves and things, who perhaps are aware, or somebody says, did you know that such and such going on up there? You just don't know. And I've heard, you know, never leave anything of value on the land, because it will go. And it may not go immediately, but in time. And so, of course, unless you're actually there yourselves. So that's where the caravan, if we can stay one or two nights and have 2 or 3 days to work and get on with it, it's obviously a bonus, because you know, trying to find a piece of land that's near your home that is ideal is not ideal. Of course, we can and we shall, in due course, once we've got ourselves settled, as there's so much to do, is perhaps hunt around to see if there's a small house or something, and I could sell this house and then move closer. But I'm not, that's not on my agenda for the moment, because there's too many other bits and pieces to do, obviously. So that's where we are with the land, and it's all, but it's very much occupying my time. And the older the videos that I was making in the last 3 years of looking at what's going on and understanding the truth of the situation and the corruption and, you know, things like the council tax, although I did a version recently, and people keep sending me emails and, you know, lots of information about things. But my main attention really is on now, more than ever, is just focused on the land. I have been trying to write the second book. That's not been as productive as before with the Biggleswick book, because during the winter of last, not the year before last now, seems so long ago, that's what my focus was on, and I was spending all my time writing, and then preparing and planning the book and everything else. Whereas I had the book written and finished, I suppose, in one draft, and it was edit mode this time last year of Biggleswick. Well, I don't have anything like the production of what I would like to do with this second book, anything like, because we've been buying the land and going to the land, and that's been our focus. And I'm not making as many videos as I was. I'm demonetized on that front anyway. And I think also it's very important to move on and get on do things. You know, instead of talking about the solutions now, it's doing the solutions. And I think more than ever, the important thing is to be self-sufficient and grow as much food as you can, and make contact with like-minded people who are doing the same. And then you can offer advice and barter and trade and help. I think that's the most important thing that one can do at the moment. As the world, and I haven't been watching the news, and I don't really know what's going on at all, but, you know, every now and again a little snippet of something and you think, I don't know, what's that about? I'm not interested. I'm not going to get stressed about what is or isn't true or not true, or is the mainstream narrative and all of those things. It's all a big distraction. We know that everybody wants you to look over here whilst over there something else is happening. It's the same old playbook. Well, I'm not looking in any direction, just focusing on our own direction, as it were. And I think that's the most important thing that anybody can do, because that undermines the power of those that want to control us, because you suddenly are no longer following all their stupid myths, legends, lies, and so on. So that's where I am. I apologise if this is not terribly revealing on everything, or moving things on, but that's where we are, and that's the situation. So I shall leave it there for now. Thank you for listening. I apologise again for not giving you a dollop of those every day, but this is the moving story of one man's life. So if you've listened from the very beginning, you'll know that this does have this sort of wane, and whatever the opposite is of waning is. I can't really think this morning. It's a bit early for me. Well, it's not early for me. I don't know why I said that, really. But yes, I've got my brain switched on into gear. So I'm going to have a nice cup of tea and upload this. And the aim is to go back to the land. So I need to sort myself out. I will catch up with you soon. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.